Insiders Health Radio, the place to learn about integrative medicine, wellness, and preventative health. Here's Danica Quinn.
Captain Tom Bunn, an airline captain and licensed therapist, is president and founder of SOAR Incorporated. He has helped over 5,000 people overcome difficulty with flying. He founded SOAR in 1982, and to offer the most effective help possible, he completed graduate school to become a therapist. He spent 5 additional years in training at psychological institutes, finally developing a therapy that has made it possible for everyone to fly. Welcome to the program, Captain.
Thank you, Danica.
I have to say, I'm so thrilled to have you on this show today. When my producer told me who I would be speaking with, I was jumping up and down for joy. I can't tell you how many people that I've sent to your site, fearofflying.com, myself included. It came highly recommended to me from a dear friend years ago, and it has helped me so much. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for developing this website for people like myself who are nervous flyers.
Well, thank you for appreciating it. You know, I first worked at the course that Captain Truman Cummings started at Pan Am way back in the 1975. I started working with him around 1980. And the course was mostly about information about how flying works so that you can have some confidence in it, but also relaxation exercises. And it turns out relaxation exercises just won't do the job. But for a person who has a relatively, now you might not think what you had was relatively mild, but compared with most people I work with, yeah, it is. For people who have relatively mild problems, knowing how flying works is enough. And plus there's one easy exercise I can teach you called the 5-4-3-2-1, which is just a way of that does help you relax. So we offer free help on the site because our work is really about dealing with the really hardcore cases, and so what we offer free is what you might pay for at some of the other sites, and then we just focus on what we charge for is the help that someone who has really more severe problems would need.
Well, and as you had mentioned, a lot of the mild anxiety comes from not understanding how a plane works. I mean, when any time that I would fly after takeoff and then it sounds like the engine just is like completely dying, I learned on your site that it's actually the noise reducers when flying over a neighborhood. I would have total anxiety sitting there in my seat going, oh no, we're going down, the engine stopped. But and on your site, as you say, you explain how the plane works and the different noises and the funny noises that you hear, what that means and what's going on with the plane, and that really does help tremendously.
And another thing, I don't know, Danica, if you ran across the Jell-O exercise, we call it.
I don't remember
so
that.
Many
what is
people
that?
Well, so many people look up and they see an airplane up in the sky and they say, I don't see anything holding it up there. You know, it should fall. And, you know, Bernoulli's theorem explains it, but that's kind of left brain. You know, it's very intellectual. And the right brain is more emotional. It says, you know, Bernoulli, I don't understand Bernoulli. Shut up with all those words. Can't you see nothing's working? The plane's going to fall. So what we do is we try to find a way to translate Bernoulli into something the right visual brain can appreciate, because it's the right brain generally that triggers anxiety. And the idea is if you walk across the room right now, 4 miles an hour maybe, air doesn't slow you down. It's too thin. But if you get on a bike and just go 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour faster, that's about as fast as most people can pedal a bike, because the air is building up. Now, it's as if getting thicker. It really isn't getting thicker, but it's as if getting thicker because you're jamming into more molecules faster.
Right.
So the answer to this is to say, well, okay, now what about 50 miles an hour? And put your hand out the window of a car going 50 miles an hour and push forward. You know what you're going to feel. The effort it takes forward to push forward is about the same as if you put your hand down in a swimming pool and pushed against the water. So what I'm suggesting is that at 50 miles an hour airflow, it's about the same as about as substantial as water that's sitting in a pool. Okay, let's try 100 miles an hour. It's more like molasses. And if you get up to takeoff speed of the airplane, it's like Jell-O. And here's the thing that's remarkable about Jell-O compared with these other things. If you get a hunk of Jell-O sitting on a plate, probably it's got some fruit in it, mandarin oranges, pineapple cubes, grapes, whatever, and you pick up the plate. If you jiggle it up and down, yeah, you can make that fruit jiggle, but it's not going to fall. So let's get rid of the fruit. Put in a little model airplane in the Jell-O, you know, one of these little 1 or 2 inch airplanes. Suspend it in the Jell-O. Now, you can make that airplane shake, but you can't make it plunge, right?
Wow.
So that's the image we ask people to think. As you go down the runway, picture the air getting thicker, thicker, thicker. Before the plane lifts its nose, it's going to be in Jell-O-like air. Now, once you get into air that's that thick, I think you probably can't even imagine the plane doing anything except going where it's pointed. So let me just try this. Danica, imagine you have that Jell-O hunk in front of you with a little model airplane in it. Come in behind it with some shish kebab skewers and push against the engines. Then push it forward so it cuts forward through the Jell-O. And see if you can even imagine going anywhere except where it's pointed.
Hmm. Wow.
So the whole, it's not brain science, you know, it's just simply go down the runway until the air's thick enough. Bring the nose up a little bit. The airplane's got to go off the runway where it's pointed. Keep the nose elevated until you get to whatever altitude you want to cruise at. Bring the nose down equal to the horizon so you'll stay there at that altitude. Half an hour before you get to your destination, aim at the airport, glide down. Just don't hit other airplanes. Just don't hit any mountains, and you got it made. That's it.
Wow. Because flying is relatively safe. I mean, everybody, I've heard time and time again, oh, it's safer than driving in your car. Do you think that the, you know, with the media coverage of one plane crash, it's so big? Because when we take off in a plane, I think those images just run through my head. It doesn't happen. Plane crashes don't happen that often, really. It's pretty safe, right?
But yeah, it is remarkably safe, but it's not perfect. And you see, a person who's really secure in the world, when they are facing something that's not 100% safe, they say, well, this is what happens most of the time, almost all the time. I'm good with that. I can make a commitment to do that. And the interesting thing is, when you make a commitment to do something, a signal goes back to the amygdala, the part of the brain that releases stress hormones, and tells it, I've made a decision. I'm committed to this. Chill out. Don't give me any more stress hormones. But a person who's not so secure, instead of going with what's most likely to happen, they think about the thing that's likely not to happen. But when they think about it, it's so bad, they get stuck thinking with it.
Yes, thinking about exactly.
It. And they can't get it out of mind. And it causes stress hormones. And so now they can't commit to simply getting on the airplane and doing nothing. And see, because they need to be able to make that commitment to get on the airplane and do nothing in order to send a signal back to the amygdala to tell it to stop producing stress hormones. I probably could explain a little bit more. You know, there's certain things that you can do completely on mental autopilot, like drive a car?
Yes.
Right? You could be thinking about what you're going to do on the radio show. But as long as everything is routine as you go down the road, the amygdala is sitting there, by the way, looking at what's going on. It sits right behind the eyes. And it's dividing everything into routine and non-routine. As long as everything's routine, it's not going to do anything. But if somebody starts to drift into your lane, it's going to say, aha, non-routine, and give you a shot of stress hormones that forces the part of the brain that's been thinking about your radio show, your high-level thinking, decision-making thinking, it's going to grab it and force you to pay attention to this person coming into your lane. That's fine. Now, here's the thing. People say, well, when I have control, I'm okay. It's not control. It's when you make the commitment to do what you need to do, or make the commitment that you don't need to do anything. It's the commitment that gives you the signal that goes back to the amygdala to tell it to stop producing stress hormones. Mm. And you can do that pretty well on in your car. And if you were in the cockpit of the airplane, you could probably do it okay. But when you're back in the passenger cabin, that's different.
I think it's that loss of control.
Well, it's the loss of control, but it's also the loss of an ability to say it's perfectly okay for me to be here and do nothing. It's hard to commit to that.
Yes, it is, especially in this day and age, right?
Yeah, you're right. So what we do, though, is since we probably are not going to be able to get people to make that commitment very comfortably, what we do is we go back and we actually train the amygdala to not react, to not give you the stress.
And Captain, I really hate to interrupt you. I have so many more questions for you, especially since I'm a nervous flyer, or actually now not so nervous after visiting fearofflying.com. Please check it out if you have any anxiety. Captain, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm Danica Quinn. Until next time, here's to your well-being.